Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, February 14th, 2022. I'm Steven Jensen. Happy Valentine's Day. And like I said, it is Monday. I'm doing the show on Monday instead of Sunday this week, mainly because it was Super Bowl Sunday, and I know a lot of people were preoccupied with football, myself included. And also, happy birthday to my stepmother, Lori. We were celebrating her birthday, and I just figured, all things considered, it just made a lot more sense just to do the show on Monday. I thought about doing Saturday, but I wanted to get the results for the NWA Power Trip, which I'll be doing spoilers for on this show. I'll give you a heads up if you want to stay spoiler-free, but I wanted to hear the results of that before we did an episode of this show. So Saturday night was NWA, then of course Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday and celebrating my stepmother's birthday, and then here we are today on Monday. So as I've always said, I'll say it before and I'll say it again, I will never take a week off on this show. Even if it comes out a little bit late, I will never take a full week off. You will always get at least one episode guaranteed of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast every single week right here on FightfulSelect.com. I very much appreciate all of you who listen, and let's go through the topics and we'll jump into it for this week. So in this edition of the Weekender, we have results for NWA Power Trip. A lot of spoilers there, so I will give you another spoiler alert before we actually do the results in case you want to stay spoiler free. We'll also be talking about Nick Wayne getting an AEW contract, a kid that we've been talking about. And I say kid because he is 16, that we've talked about a lot on this show, on the Weekender, for months. And some big news for the young Nick Wayne heading to AEW. Also have results for Impact Wrestling, 205 Live, NXT UK, MLW Fusion, West Coast Pro. And before we get out of here, I'll give you some really quick Elimination Chamber predictions because the WWE Chamber show is this Saturday. So, that all said, before we get started, as always, I have my recommended show to watch on independentwrestling.tv, and I'll get into that in just a second because I want to give you all a heads up. If you are fans of mixed martial arts, make sure to check out on youtube.com/Fightful, the main channel for Fightful. We had a watch-along for UFC 271. If you are a Fight fan and you want to see the results, or the reactions, I should say, for the results of 271, myself, Sean Ross Sapp, Romeo from True Heel Heat, Doug, Rob Wilkins, we were having a good time watching the fights. So if you want to get our reactions for Israel Adesanya and Robert Whittaker 2, as well as Tai Tuivasa versus Derek Lewis, check that out. We appreciate all the views there. Give us a thumbs up there and subscribe over there on the YouTube channel. And speaking of the YouTube channel, just a heads up, every Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, myself and Jeremy Lambert, check out The Spotlight. It's a great show that we just started a few weeks ago. We're really loving it so far. We bring on YouTube creators, content creators, pro wrestlers. We got some really fun stuff, you know, coming up soon. So once again, make sure you're subscribed over there, youtube.com/Fightful. So that said, let's talk about independentwrestling.tv. So technically this week, I'll be talking about two IWTV shows. One that I'm going to talk about right now and as my quote-unquote recommended show for the week. And then I also will give you the results for West Coast Pro because they had a really big show this week and I do want to give you the results for that one. So we got one recommended show at the beginning, and then towards the end of the show, I'll give you some results for another IWTV show from this past weekend. So a lot of really good stuff going on, as always, on independentwrestling.tv. Use code FIGHTTALK, F-I-G-H-T-T-A-L-K. If you use that code, it helps me out a lot. Use it on independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live. And yeah, you just use FIGHTTALK, all is one word, no spaces. It just basically gives them a heads up that I am directing you that direction. So yeah, helps me out a little bit. The show that I'm recommending this week for independentwrestling.tv is Absolute Intense Wrestling's You Know What? I'm Not Leaving. So the company is AIW, also known as Absolute Intense Wrestling, and the show once again is called You Know What? I'm Not Leaving. And this is in reference to Joshua Bishop, who recently had a WWE tryout and has since said that he plans to stay on the indies and in particular stay to be a big part of AIW. And we will talk about Joshua Bishop here in just a second because he is definitely one of the faces, probably the main face of AIW. So these are the matchups to expect. We got Dominic Guarini and Tom Lawler taking on Casey Carrington and Ethan Wright in tag team action. We have Riley Rose versus Chase Oliver. Bulking Season, the team of Arthur MacArthur and Chuck Stone, taking on The Production, the team of Derek Dillinger and Ziggy Haim. Ziggy Heim. I hear that one pronounced both ways so much. I believe the actual correct pronunciation is Haim. So I'm going to stick with that. We have Jocelyn Navarro and Lufisto. The Philly Marino Experience, the team of Marino and Philly Collins, of course, taking on the main event, the team of Duke Davis and Gannon Jones Jr. This was for the AIW Tag Team Championships that the Philly Marino Experience hold. In more tag team action, we had To Infinity and Beyond, the team of Cheech and Colin Delaney, taking on the Bitcoin Boys of Eric Taylor and Mikey Montgomery. We had Brian Myers, the most professional wrestler, taking on the aforementioned Joshua Bishop. We had Kaplan taking on Matthew Justice, Isaiah Bronner, and PB Smooth. And in the main event of the show, we had AIW Absolute Champion and AIW Intense Champion Matt Cardona defending his titles against Wes Barkley. So we'll highlight some talent here. Dominic Guarini, talk about him almost every week. The Bone Collector, the former SUP Bone Storm Champion. Him and Kevin Q of Islands Forever recently left MLW. And Guarini never stopped grinding the indies. So, you know, he's just going to keep doing his thing. And I hope to see him on AEW at some point. I really want to see Guarini and Q as Violence is Forever against Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. That's like a massive dream match for me right now as far as tag team matches. It's really cool to see Guarini and Lawler team together, especially if you know their histories, you know, Team Filthy and all that stuff. And they work really, really well together. So, Filthy Tom Lawler, another guy. A lot of these guys I talk about often here on this show. But Tom Lawler, I've been a fan of since his UFC days. And it's just really cool to see how well he's doing in the world of pro wrestling. He also recently left MLW. So I hope to see Lawler, Guarini, and Ku as Team Filthy on AEW at some point. And if not AEW, just a big stage. You know, New Japan or Impact or something. They all have so much talent, and they bring something different to the table, just a real legitimacy about them. Chase Oliver really impressed me on this show. I haven't seen a whole lot of him, but keep your eyes out for Chase Oliver. Young, up-and-comer, super talented, and is only going to keep getting better. Bulking season in the production, I like both of these teams a lot. It's still wild to see Derek Dillinger, even though I remember him and think of him most as Derek Direction, when it was him and the production was him and Eddie Only, who also popped up on this show. I believe it was this show where he showed up in the business suit. I believe so. If not, it was another show this past weekend. It's hard for me to remember what happens on which show sometimes, because some weekends I'm watching like four or five indie shows and a lot of the talent overlaps. But Eddie Only has had like a complete character overhaul. And now Derek Direction goes as Derek Dillinger. Arthur MacArthur is a guy that has gotten a couple reps in the Southeast recently, and he has like a strongman type gimmick, kind of similar to what you would think of as like, kind of like Simon Gotch in, when he was a part of the Vaudevillains in NXT, kind of those type of vibes, real throwback character. Philly Marino Experience is one of the most underrated tag teams on earth right now. They've been great for quite a while. And I really love them in AIW because they basically play kind of the lackeys to Matt Cardona, and they do it really well. And they're just really, really solid in the ring on top of the characters being as great as they are. The in-ring matches up, and I just think the Phil Marino Experience, they're destined to really bust out at some point. Like, I don't know if 2022 is going to be their big year or not, but like, it very well could be. And if not, it'll probably be 2023 or 2024. I mean, if they just keep doing what they're doing, they have the talent to really be doing their thing anywhere. Bitcoin Boys, guys that I've been watching for a while now, for years, and they just continually get better. And they're two young guys that I think still have a ton of untapped potential, and they're only going to keep getting better. To Infinity and Beyond, two veterans. I mean, Cheech and Colin Delaney. Y'all might remember Colin Delaney from WWECW back in the day. That same Colin Delaney has been nonstop wrestling on the indies ever since then, and he's really had a great career, you know, for his own. Brian Myers, everyone knows Brian Myers, part of the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, the former Curt Hawkins in WWE, a guy who's had a hand in, probably the main hand in training a lot of today's wrestlers that you're starting to see really break out, like MJF and Max Caster and Chris Statlander, a lot of these big-time wrestlers that are up-and-comers are coming through Creative Pro. Smart Mark Sterling. There's the manager, of course, for Jade Cargill. There's a lot of talent. I'm missing a ton, too. I mean, there's been a ton of people that have been coming through Creative Pro, and Brian Myers deserves a lot of credit for really helping shape the future of wrestling in a lot of ways. And his opponent, Joshua Bishop, who I was talking about at the top, he is, in my opinion, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think he has more potential than anybody on the indies right now as far as drawing big money. And that's not anything against anyone at all. But Joshua Bishop, I think he's still only 24 years old. I remember seeing him wrestle his like first match ever. I mean, this had to have been like 5 years ago or something. And I might have been the first person to ever interview him. I don't know for sure, but like I interviewed him for the Fight Talk podcast, and he was like maybe 10 matches into his career at the time. Like, it was just wild to see how much he's progressed. But the reason I say I think he has more potential than anybody to draw the most money in wrestling out of, like, the guys, and this is out of the guys, of course, that we haven't seen anywhere else yet. Like, Joshua Bishop has never wrestled on mainstream TV. He's never done AEW. He's never done WWE. He's never done even New Japan or anything like that, or Impact. Like, he's still, but I think that the way that he has to be handled is as a top guy constantly or consistently, however you want to look at it, because if you bring him into Impact, for instance, you have to put him right in the title mix. If you bring him into AEW, he has to be not necessarily like a main event guy right away, but he has to be a guy that looks very strong. And it just because you have it's similar to MJF in a lot of ways. He's so young and he's so good, and he hasn't even hit his prime yet. Like, he's still years away from his prime. But on top of that, like, he has a great look. He's a big dude, big muscular guy. He's probably like 6'3", 6'4". I mean, he's a big dude. And I mean, and just athletic as hell. Just got a great look, and he's great in the ring. He does a lot of throwback nods to other big guys like him. Like, he does awesome bombs like Mike Awesome. He does Outsider's Edges. He can jump over the ropes. I've seen him do some crazy stuff where he's literally jumped off balconies and buildings through, you know, stacks of tables and stuff like that. The dude's nuts. But that said, the reason is all those things, right? Like, he's got the look of a star in pro wrestling. He has the in-ring talent, and he's only getting better. He has good mic skills, and he's just so believable. And he has this, like, this charisma about him where he walks through that curtain and walks down the entrance ramp, and, like, the intensity about him is just something where, once again, I haven't really said these kind of things in this high of regard of really anybody since MJF. Like, when MJF was on the indies, and you can go back, and I mean, I've been doing the show long enough that this Weekender show was around pre-AEW, so you can even go back and listen to previous episodes where I guarantee you I was talking very, very highly of MJF and talking about how big of a deal he would be in a company like WWE. And that was, once again, before AEW even existed. And these are the kind of things I say about Joshua Bishop. Like, as far as, I think that MJF could be the top heel in wrestling for the next 10, 15 years easy. And I think Joshua Bishop could be one of the top baby faces in all of wrestling, or heels, depending on how they want to do it. But he's going to be right up there with MJF, I think, in a handful of years. So I just can't say enough good things out, you know, about Joshua Bishop. He really is one of the future major massive stars in professional wrestling, in my opinion. So if you haven't seen Joshua Bishop, I highly, highly, highly recommend going out of your way, seeking out some matches. I'd recommend watching anything he's done in AIW, and I'd watch him versus Manders from Southern Underground Pro. You can watch really anything he did in Sup Graps, but you'll see quite the development of Joshua Bishop if you watch early Sup shows. And then I don't want to ruin anything if you've never seen his full career, but he has quite a transformation kind of in the first few years of his career. Matthew Justice also on this show. You know, I talk about him all the time. GCW, one of the top guys there, keeping the spirit of ECW alive, coming out to Walk by Pantera, comes out with Bill Alfonso as his manager, just waving the flag for old school ECW. Shout out to Isaiah Bronner, another guy who is really starting to break out more recently. And I love his pairing with AC Mack, but he hasn't been doing it a ton. But I really like them together. And AC Mack, of course, now the IWTV Independent Wrestling World Champion. PB Smooth, a guy who's been around for quite a while as well. Big, tall dude who's, you know, very solid in the ring. And a guy that it's almost confusing that I haven't seen him do more. I think he's done some AEW Dark. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure. But PB Smooth is a guy who, once again, I think once the time comes, he could be a big star in wrestling. The main event of the show, Matt Cardona. I'll talk about him more when he get to the NWA, but what more can I say? The digital media champion in Impact, the AIW Absolute Champion, the AIW Intense Champion. Those are two separate title belts that he carries simultaneously that were, before they were both held by Joshua Bishop, and Cardona beat Bishop for both of those. There's a ongoing story right now in AIW, a big feud between Cardona and Myers and Bishop and Wes Barkley. Wes Barkley is the manager and tag team partner of Joshua Bishop, and also known as Maserati Wes, another guy that I've been watching for years. I've been so lucky to see guys like Wes Barkley and Joshua Bishop, and as I mentioned, AJ Gray, you know, being one of my favorites, and another guy who I got to see so many of these guys so early in their careers, you know, in front of hardly any fans, and now they're really, really breaking out in the world of wrestling, and they're going to be the top stars for a long time because they're young and they're so ultra-talented. And Wes, I think, is very, very underrated in the ring, but I've said it before and I'll say it again. He's very, very underrated in the ring, but I think him and Bishop together, like, that's where the money is for both of those guys. I think Bishop could do really whatever he wants in the world of wrestling, but Wes Barkley is such a good hype man and manager for Bishop that can also wrestle. So it just opens up so many possibilities where even if Bishop kind of winds up being a breakout singles star, I think Barkley right there with him as his manager, as his mouthpiece, even though Bishop can talk, like, Barkley does a really great job hyping up Bishop. And then when it comes down to it, Barkley's so good in the ring that he can take a beat down as a manager, or he can team up with Bishop and have good tag team matches when it makes sense. So, like, I can't say enough good things about so many people on this show. I just highly recommend you check it out. It is my recommended show to watch on IWTV this week. It is AIW Absolute Intense Wrestling's You Know What? I'm Not Leaving. And it's available right now on independentwrestling.tv. Please use code FIGHTTALK. Speaking of young up-and-comers in the world of wrestling, the 16-year-old Nick Wayne, the son of Buddy Wayne, the third-generation wrestler who we've been seeing a lot lately in companies like GCW and really all over the independent circuit, he had a match against Christopher Daniels, which I believe I've heard the age discrepancy between the two was like 35 years apart because, you know, CD is like in his 40s and Nick Wayne's 16, which is wild in itself. But it was Defy Wrestling in Seattle, Washington. It was Defy's 5th anniversary show. And after the main event, Darby Allin came to give Nick Wayne a AEW contract, which Nick Wayne accepted. And Darby Allin used to be like the face of Defy Wrestling before he went off to... He went and did Evolve and stuff like that, but really, he was like the man at Defy, and then, of course, is one of the top stars in All Elite Wrestling now. But, I mean, Nick Wayne is just so ultra-talented for his age. Not just for his age, but like just highlighting the fact that he's as good as he is at 16. And there's a few of these really young, talented wrestlers out there. You got Nick Wayne, you got Marcus Mathers, you've got Starboy Charlie, you've got Billy Starks. Like, those four right there, and I'm missing others. There's a lot more out there, but those are the ones that, like, really, really stick out to me as kind of, like, the four pillars of like, wrestling kids, of wrestling teenagers, like, literal, like, 16 to 18-year-old kids that are going to be the future for so long in the world of wrestling. This is so cool for so many reasons. One, imagine being Nick Wayne, being 16 years old, and, like, being on TV one night, and then you're just in your, like, high school biology class the next day, and just, like, how big of a star you'd be at your own school. Like, that's just so cool in itself. But On top of that, the hope I think that it gives to the other people I just mentioned. Now that we know that AEW is willing to do something like this, which to me it sounds more like a almost like an internship, it's like an internship with the guarantee of a full-time job once he turns 18 is how it feels. And I believe how it's kind of been reported. Basically, what it sounds like is, because Nick Wayne is 16, they'll have him under contract. He'll probably just continue doing indie shows like he has been and just keep getting more experience. And he'll probably pop up on AEW occasionally. I'm guessing he'll probably do some Dark, maybe some Dynamite or Rampage. But when he turns 18, he'll become a fully contracted wrestler as an adult. And then he'll probably be, you know, a full-time, every week, put into storylines type situation. So, I love it. And like I said, now if you're Billy Starks or Starboy Charlie or Marcus Mathers, if you're any of those three, now you're going from, all right, I just got to keep working hard. And then when I turn 18, I bet you anything, you know, one of these companies is gonna try to sign me. Now it's like, I could get signed tomorrow. And then, you know, then there's like just kind of a plan for, you know, when I do turn 18, but like you're guaranteed, like your future is set. And you don't even have to like worry about it. And you start getting paid by AEW, which is incredible. And also another added layer, when AEW hires Billy Starks, and I only say if because I guess it's possible the WWE might snag her, I don't know, but you know, either way, Billy Starks is going to be one of the top wrestlers in all of wrestling very soon. She's already one of the top wrestlers on the indies, and she has been since she was like 15. But this is just one of those things where, like, wherever Billy Starks goes, I also want to see her dad go. Her dad is Robert Bellamy, better known as Mouse, and he is the best wrestling photographer I think I've ever met. And I think that would be a great kind of dual package for AEW. Like, if you get Billy Starks as a wrestler, and then you also get Mouse, who's probably going to travel with her anyways, like, you get him there at your shows ringside to take just badass photos of everything. And, you know, not just for Billy, of course. He does photography for full shows all over the place. I think that'd be cool as hell if that's something he was interested in. Like, you'd have Billy there as a up-and-coming wrestler, and then you'd also get a great camera guy out of it that, like, is already well-known and has a fan base of his own. I think it's a pretty cool idea. So that said, huge shout-out to Nick Wayne, and like I said, it's just a matter of time before we see the same for the likes of Billy Stark, Starboy Charlie, and Marcus Mathers. So yeah, if you don't know Nick Wayne, which a lot of people seem to be confused because they just don't really know much about him, you could pretty much watch anything he does anywhere because his matches have been very, very good consistently. But I would point out more of his GCW stuff. If, like, you want a full kind of range of how great he is, really watch anything he's done in GCW over the last, like, 3-4 months. And you'll get a really good feel for how good Nick Wayne is. And you can also see that there's just, like, there's a lot of room for improvement still. And he's going to keep filling out and getting bigger physically and stuff, too. Because, once again, he's only 16 right now. I mean, I remember what Jordan Oliver looked like when he was, you know, in a teenager. And he used to get a lot of flack from people online and in just the wrestling community. People going, you're too skinny and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, Jordan's, I guess, a bit lanky at the end of the day. Like, I am too. I just have long arms. But he is filled out more. Like, he doesn't look as skinny as he did because, once again, like, he's gotten older. He's filled out. He's put on some more muscle. The same thing will happen for Nick Wayne because I'm already seeing that. People going, oh, he's 16 and he's small and blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, well, He'll look a bit different when he's, like, you know, in his early 20s, when he's, you know, not a literal kid anymore, you know. So give it a little bit of time, but I once again, just huge shout out to Nick Wayne for getting a contract with AEW at only 16 years of age. I am so happy to see it. Moving on, we have spoilers. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert. We're going to be talking National Wrestling Alliance, NWA Power Trip. POWERRR trip, power trip. These are results for a show that happened this past Saturday night, but this stuff isn't going to air until, well, it'll air over the next few weeks on NWA Power, which you can watch on Fight TV and on YouTube. I'll get to the big result at the end, but these are all the spoilers. And this is actually the first time I'm looking at the full spoilers. I know the big spoiler already, but here comes the spoilers. So, if you don't want to hear these, by the way, I'd recommend just fast forward like maybe 3, maybe 5 minutes. It won't take long to go through the results, but I'll have some thoughts on the big one. So we had Chelsea Green over Kylie Rae, Jax Dane over Eric Jackson, the Fixers over OGK. This was a round one Crockett Cup tournament match. So the Fixers over the OGK, that's a big win for the Fixers there. We had 2 out of 3 falls, Colby Carino over Rhett Titus. We had Idolmania Sports Management over Scion and Ill-Begotten. We had Mike Knox over to Pope. NWA Women's Champion Camille defending and retaining the title by defeating Taryn Terrell. We had an I Quit match where Nick Aldis defeated Tom Latimer. We had the NWA National Championship on the line. Anthony Mayweather defeating Chris Adonis to become the new NWA National Champion. So once again, new champ alert, Anthony Mayweather, the new National Champion, defeating the former Chris Masters, Chris Adonis. In the main event of the show, where I'm assuming what will be the big main event of everything, I don't know when this will air, but keep an eye out for it if you want to watch it happen. The NWA World Heavyweight Championship, Matt Cardona defeats Trevor Murdoch to become the new holder of the 10 pounds of gold. Me and Jeremy talked about it a lot the last few weeks on the Spotlight on Fightful, on the main channel there on YouTube. Check it out. We have been saying Cardona's got to be the next NWA World Heavyweight Champion. I was saying I thought it was going to happen on this show. He was saying he didn't think it would happen because it was a pre-taped show and they would most likely just do the title change live, which obviously makes a lot of sense. But they went the route that I was kind of thinking they would, where Cardona won the title, and now because of the buzz it's going to create, people will tune in to watch him win the title on YouTube, and they can pop a big rating or number or whatever you want to, however you want to say it. They'll get a lot of views on YouTube for that episode. That said, this should have absolutely aired live. Like, it is a big miss as a wrestling fan that you can't see this happen live and react to it live, and the only people that could were there in the house at the tried and true NWA, you know, co-promoted show, which, by the way, was apparently so poorly promoted that, like, I know people that live within probably 10 or 15 minutes of that venue that are big wrestling fans and go to a lot of independent shows, and they had no idea the show was happening this Saturday. It was multiple people. That, once again, people that are actually involved in independent wrestling, some of them. Some people that I know that work for independent wrestling companies. I saw them tweeting or hitting me up going, dude, this is happening here? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I know. I know. But it was just so sad that there was no promotion for it and that this happened on a tape show. But all that aside, huge congratulations to Matt Cardona. We've talked about it so much on this show, but what a hell of a run he has had post-WWE. If you want to check out some deep thoughts that I have on it and some conversation that I actually had, well, through email with Matt Cardona, you can check out the latest episode of Fightful Magazine. It's the one with Danhausen on the cover. I did a story in the magazine, a whole feature on Matt Cardona's post-WWE run. And it was written before he popped up in the National Wrestling Alliance, but it still gives you a really good kind of story, if you will, of what he's done since leaving WWE. But it's become even bigger now. I mean, wow. He's been the GCW World Champion. He is the current Impact Digital Media Champion. He is the current AIW Absolute Champion, the AIW Intense Champion. He is the Internet Champion, and he is the now current reigning and soon-to-be defending NWA World's Heavyweight Champion. So, you know, this is the guy that, you know, WWE had for literally 15 years, and he just wasn't a big enough star for them, for whatever reason, to really do anything with. So, I guess I mean, he's just a great example of proving them wrong at the end of the day, because he obviously is a major star, a massive star, major bro. He's all over the place. He's one of the top draws in all of independent wrestling right now, and he's the champion all over the place as well. So just really, really cool to see. So Matt Cardona is the new NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, and I think it's really smart for a lot of reasons. One, it's going to bring some buzz to the company just knowing that he won the title. And then two, because he does regularly, have a hard time with that word, regularly appear in GCW, he can bring that title belt with him. Because he's an AIW so much, bring that title belt with him. Because he's an Impact Wrestling so much, bring that title with him. And Cardona also was recently in the mix for the world title in Impact also. He unsuccessfully challenged for the title, but he's still very much in like the main event scene there. And of course, the current digital media champion. And he had some really great words of praise for Jordan Grace. I think he said that his match with Jordan was the best match he's had since he's been in Impact. And I'd agree. Y'all who listen to the show know how much I love Jordan Grace. So you're good on Matt Cardona for a lot of reasons right now. And obviously I'm a major mark. I'm a action figure collector. Those guys are kind of heroes in the space, if I'm being honest. So depending on how you look at it, they're heroes for what they're doing, for like how much better action figure collecting has been since they've gotten in, like, heavily involved through YouTube and their podcasts and stuff. But sometimes it does drive up the prices of some of the stuff that used to be a little bit cheaper. But that's just a double-edged sword. Nothing, and they're not maliciously doing these things, and I'm not going to hold it against them. So once again, Matt Cardona is your new NWA champion. Now, speaking of Impact Wrestling, let's move on to results for Impact. Most recent episode started out with Josh Alexander in the ring. He cuts this promo about basically losing the world title and trying to get back to a title shot. He is interrupted by Big Con, who is the former Connor from Ascension. Josh Alexander, who's still in street clothes, just squashes him, makes him tap out to an ankle lock right away. After that, Scott D'Amore comes out, and Alexander is still beating up Khan. He shoves D'Amore. D'Amore suspends him and takes him off of the Team Impact for no surrender and stuff, which is now leading to more stories about people trying to get onto Team Impact for no surrender, including Steve Macklin, who gets added to the team during the show as well. The first real match we had, because the Alexander and Khan match was really just more so of a segment, if I'm being honest, was Deonna Purrazzo over Santana Garrett to retain the ROH Women's Championship. The finish of this one was good. Garrett comes off the top rope. Purrazzo reverses the attack into a Fujiwara armbar. Garrett slides out of the armbar attempt and gets trapped in a pin by Purrazzo for the 1-2-3. After that, the Impact team's talking to D'Amore about wanting Jonathan Gresham on their team, but there is a underlying story going on right now where the Ring of Honor World Champion, Jonathan Gresham, hasn't really chosen his side on whether he's going to, help Team Impact or Team ROH, even though he's affiliated with ROH, but he's a babyface, so it's like, it's... They're playing the whole, like, which side's he going to take with Jonathan Gresham. After that, we had Chelsea Green defeat Mickie James by disqualification. The finish of this one sees Tasha Steelz and Savannah Evans attack Chelsea Green during the match. They hit her with a trash can, and it was more of like a little trash bin, and then they attack her, and that leads to disqualification. After that, we have a long segment that's just continuing to build Bullet Club versus the Good Brothers and Bound by Design. We have Matt Cardona and Jordan Grace. We find out that the two of them are going to be having a rematch and no surrender for the Digital Media Championship. As I mentioned before, their original match was very good, and I believe the rematch will be just as good, if not better. After that, we had Honor No More, the team of Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, defeating Rich Swann and Rhino, who are representing Team Impact. the finish of this one was Taven hitting a climax, his version of the Bulldog Driver. He nails it on Rhino for the 1-2-3. After the match, Honor No More continues the attack. Taven and Bennett, OGK, hit their tag team finish, like that backpack running kick and everything. I don't know the name. I've always forgot the name of it. But it's a good-looking move. I just very bad at describing it. And after the match, like, this is happening, and Steve Maclin saves the team, and, you know, he's going to be joining them. The main event of the show, we had W. Morrissey against Brian Myers. W. Morrissey gets the win. It is a no DQ match. And this was a pretty great ending. I mean, they're really, really, really heavily pushing Morrissey as, like, unstoppable, and it makes sense because he is the next challenger at No Surrender against Moose for the title. But the finish of this one was great. Morrissey hits a powerbomb, and then he goes and gets thumbtacks, and hits a powerbomb into the thumbtacks, and then hits another powerbomb into the thumbtacks. So two powerbombs into the thumbtacks on top of the powerbombs he had already hit, and he gets the 1-2-3. Right after the match, Impact World Champion Moose attacks Morrissey from behind, and he beats him up with a chair, and he hits him with, like, one chair around his neck, and basically Morrissey looks like he's dead, and Moose is standing tall with the Impact World Championship. And speaking so much about No Surrender, I forgot to mention at the top of the show, I will do some quick predictions for No Surrender. So, I'm going to say Matt Cardona retains the Impact Digital Media Championship over Jordan Grace. I'm going to go with Jonah over Black Taurus. I'm going to say Jay White defeats Eric Young. I'll go with G.O.D., the Girls of Destiny, to defeat the Good Brothers, Gallows and Anderson, to become the new Impact World Tag Team Champions. And shout out to Tama Tonga for re-signing with New Japan recently. I'll say Mickey James retains the Impact Knockouts Championship over Tasha Steelz. I'm going to go Team Impact over Team Honor No More. So I'm going to say Eddie Edwards, Chris Sabin, Rhino, Rich Swann, and Steve Maclin defeat Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, PCO, Vincent, and Kenny King. I'm going to go with Ace Austin over Jake Something. I believe that'll be on the pre-show. So Ace Austin over Jake Something. And Jake Something will have Speedball Mike Bailey in his corner. I really hope he somehow gets a match on this show because Speedball is absolutely killing it. Huge shout out to his match against ACH at West Coast Pro. I'll give you the results for that a little bit later in the show. And the main event of No Surrender, I'm going to say that Moose defeats W. Morrissey to retain the Impact World Championship. All right, moving on. We have results for NXT UK. Show started off with Amel over Nina Samuels. Got the win with her finisher, the Hope Breaker, which is basically the like the spine buster bomb that she does. Really, really good looking move. Looks like it would really hurt. We find out that Blair Davenport did suffer an ankle injury against Satomura last week, which obviously, and honestly could have been a lot worse the way that her leg folded. So, you know, hopefully speedy recovery for Davenport. I imagine she'll get a title shot immediately when she returns. After that, we have a talk show segment that includes Gallus, Jordan Devlin, Noam Dar, Shaw Samuels. Basically, the main point of all of this is Joe Coffey wants a shot at the UK Heritage Cup. Next match we had was A-Kid over Saxon Huxley. Got the W with his springboard moonsault off the top rope into a DDT. Very impressive looking move. I remember Rey Mysterio hitting this back in like 1998 or 1997 or something on WCW and being completely mind blown. And I honestly haven't seen that many people hit that move as well as he does since then. It's been like, you know, almost 30 years. And A-Kid does a great version of that move, and so I got to give him props for that. Obviously, very, very talented wrestler, A-Kid. And Saxon Huxley, I think, is underrated. He does a really good job in NXT UK for the role that he's in. After the match, they tease A-Kid versus Charlie Dempsey, which is going to be fantastic. I am very high on Charlie Dempsey. And like I said, A-Kid has been very, very, very solid. So I think that's going to be a great match between those two. We find out that Jordan Devlin's going to be facing Wolfgang and Kenny Williams is going to be facing Sam Gradwell next week on the show. And the main event, we had Nathan Frazer over Tio Man. This was a really good match. I've been a big fan of Nathan Frazer for years, even pre-NXT UK as Ben Carter on the Indies. I talk about him a lot. He gets the win with a Phoenix Splash off the top rope for the 1-2-3. And for those of you who know the history of Nathan Frazer, he was trained by Black and Brave, or at Black and Brave, I should say, by Tyler Black. So Tyler Black, now of course known as Seth Rollins, Tyler Black's finisher on the Indies was the top rope Phoenix Splash. He very rarely ever whips it out on WWE, and when he does, he usually misses the move. But Nathan Frazer with the win, with the nod to Tyler Black, Phoenix Splash for the 1-2-3. And I was saying it pretty much from day one when Frazer got signed to NXT UK. I was saying he really should be the most kind of heavily focused on guy at some point. Like, he should be the top star of the promotion, based on his talent and his youth and just how much potential he still has. And he's still not even close to being in his prime, in my opinion. And now with Walter gone, or Gunther, I should say, gone from NXT UK, this is gonna be Ben Carter, Nathan Frazer's time to shine. It really is. He's gonna have a bit of a climb, I think, before getting back into like being a challenger for the world title. But I think that when he gets back to that spot, which, he didn't really have that because he lost to Walter non-title, because Walter had already lost the title at that point. My point is that Nathan Frazer, I think, probably should be the next NXT UK champion. And I don't think it needs to necessarily be anytime soon, because Ilya Dragunov is an amazing champion. But I look at their roster right now, and I think the best person that they could build to eventually put that title on the brand is Nathan Frazer. Moving on, we have results for 205 Live. Show started off with Trick Williams over Ikemen Jiro. Finish of this one was a running spinning neck breaker by Trick Williams for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Lash Legend over Eric Young. The finish of this one was the Argentine backbreaker, which is basically like a behind the back torture rack. And she gets the tap out. And I like that better than her original version of this, where she'd do the Argentine backbreaker and then swing it out into a bulldog. I don't, or a, I think she actually swing it out into a side slam, sidewalk slam. But that said, I like the submission aspect of that move. She gets a lot of good leverage there. It looks very painful. She might as well just submit, do the submission from there. I like that better personally. So Lash Legend with a win. And then the main event of the show, we had Joe Gacy over Zion Quinn. The finish of this one was basically Zion Quinn is trying to pull Joe Gacy's arm, and Gacy's holding onto the ropes so Quinn can't pull him back to the center. Harlan from the outside pulls Gacy's arm, and it creates like a domino effect type thing where Gacy then inadvertently pulls Quinn throat first into the top rope, and that little bit of separation throws off Quinn, and Gacy hits his springboard clothesline, which I also always call like the Tajiri style springboard clothesline. Tajiri would do the backwards elbow, but Gacy does the same kind of thing, does a handstand, bounces his feet off the ropes, bounces back the other way, hits a clothesline for the 1-2-3. I'll say this, I like what I've seen out of Trick Williams. I think he has a lot of potential. Lash Legend is still a bit green, but she has a lot of potential as well. She has a great look, and she looks very believable when she beats people up, and I really like that. And Joe Gacy is, in my opinion, by far the best thing on this show. I know that he doesn't, I mean, he does appear on 205 Live quite a bit, actually, but I know he's heavily featured in NXT. And I really like his character. I think I think you're blind if you don't compare this to the original Bray Wyatt character, though. I mean, it's so clearly the backwoods cult leader, Bray Wyatt type character that Joe Gacy's doing, just without like the backwoods and without the same exact message, but it's the same cadence, it's the same presentation, it's the same everything. Harlan is basically Eric Rowan standing there, you know what I mean? And I wouldn't be surprised if Gacy, you know, continued to recruit more and more people to his quote-unquote family or whatever he wants to call it. So I'm not knocking that, by the way, either. I love the original Bray Wyatt character, and I think they really, really shot themselves in the foot when they turned him into, like, the new, all, like, dressed in all black, kind of try to be the new Undertaker, supernatural type guy. I think they really messed up. And then The Fiend was a completely different thing all on its own that they... I mean, the second Goldberg beat The Fiend, that was over. So, that said, hopefully they do better by Joe Gacy, because he's got a lot of charisma. He's very good in the ring. I liked him back in the day in CZW. I mean, it's wild to see that he's even in the WWE, but the fact that they're using him to this level and they look to have this much as much investment in him, that's a really, really good sign for Joe Gacy, and I'm happy to see it. I really am. Moving on, we have results for MLW Fusion. Show started off with King Muertes over Richard Holiday. The finish of this one was the Azteca henchmen come out, and they're attacking Hammerstone backstage, and, you know, Hammerstone and Richard Holiday, they're best friends. So Hammerstone's getting beat up backstage by the Azteca henchmen. The more of the henchmen come to ringside, they're distracting Richard Holiday. That leads to King Muertes hitting the Straight to Hell, which is his lifting flatliner, for the 1-2-3. After that, we had EJ Nduka over Kwan. The finish of this one was Nduka. I mean, this is essentially a squash match, but Nduka hit it's like a DVD setup into a spine buster. So basically a big spine buster off of his shoulders for the 1-2-3. I still think Nduka has a lot of potential. They really, really talk a lot about kind of him not getting a fair shake in the WWE. But I do want to see him really do his own thing and be his own person. And I don't want to hear someone. And I'm not saying that's incorrect. I'm just saying every time I see him on TV, the commentary is talking about it. Every time I see him on Twitter, Twitter's talking about it. It's always, man, the WWE screwed up, WWE screwed up. And it's like, I think we can all agree that WWE screws up with a lot of people, right? I'm not saying that's a good thing. But I really want to see just more out of Nduka in NWA being his own person. Like, that, not so much about, like, the WWE dropping the ball with him, if that makes sense. After that, we had the main event of the show. Alex Hammerstone defeats Pagano. The finish of this one is the Azteca henchmen come out and they're trying to attack Hammerstone. Richard Holiday, the best friend, once again, of Hammerstone, comes out with a baseball bat and he fights off the Azteca henchmen, and Hammerstone hits his Nightmare Pendulum finisher for the 1-2-3, gets the win over Pagano. After the match, ring announcer Alicia Atute, funny that I messed her first name up there, not her last name, Alicia Atute, she is announcing that Hammerstone has won the match, and then Lowe blows him. Holiday beats him up. Holiday and Atute are making out in the middle of the ring. Holiday has turned on his best friend. Alicia Atute has turned heel. And yeah, Holiday ends the show by holding up the World Championship belt. And it looks like that's going to be the next big championship feud for the MLW World title. We have Alex Hammerstone and Richard Holiday. Going to give you some quick results right now for West Coast Pro. And I should have given the programming note at the top of the show. I will not have a BTE recap this episode. And the reason is because we just had so much to get to this week. And there really wasn't a lot going on BTE this week. It was a lot of travel footage and that kind of stuff. And even the little skits that they had didn't really do anything to really progress anything. We're kind of where we were just a couple weeks back with pretty much all the stories. There is a new episode that came out before I started recording this that I'll watch, and I will definitely get y'all caught up on BTE next week right here on The Weekender. That said, The next set of results I've got is for West Coast Pro. They had a big show on independentwrestling.tv. It was from San Francisco, California. And yeah, I mean, West Coast Pro, just they're just doing big things out there. I definitely consider West Coast Pro shows to be can't-miss events in independent wrestling. These are the results. We had Nick Wayne over Gringo Loco and Steven Tracio. We had 440, the team of The Bev, Bobby Beverly, Ricky Shane Page, RSP, and Atticus Kogar, over the team of Alpha Zo, D-Rogue, and Midas Creed. It's wild because, you know, seeing RSP, The Bev, and Kogar all teaming together in West Coast Pro is awesome, but it's so weird that RSP hasn't been involved in GCW in so long. I don't know whose decision it is. I don't know if RSP is, like, heading to AEW full-time. I don't know really what the situation is, but, like, we're still seeing RSP as a part of 440 on the indies, but we aren't seeing it in GCW anymore. And I'm just really curious as to why that is. We had Vinny Massaro over B-Boy, Masha Slamovich over Nicole Savoy, Rachel Ellering, and Kylie Rae in a four-way. We had Kevin Blackwood over Davey Richards, Titus Alexander over Blake Christian, Jacob Fatu and Juicy Finau over the Second Gear crew, the team of AJ Gray and Effie. In the main event of the show, we had Speedball Mike Bailey over ACH. A couple of notes from this show. Fatu and Finau getting the win. That was big because they are the baby faces. AJ Gray recently turned heel, and he is the West Coast Pro champion. Effie took the pinfall loss in this one, but we did find out at the next big West Coast Pro show, it is going to be AJ Gray defending his world championship against Jacob Fatu. And that's been brewing for a long time. It's been a long ongoing story between those guys and the Second Gear crew and Juicy and everybody. But that's probably the show. I'm assuming that's probably the show where Jacob Fatu will probably beat AJ Gray for that title. I'm not saying I necessarily want that. I love Fatu, but like I'm a massive AJ Gray fan. But I also think companies like GCW are probably taking a lot of priority. He's probably got a lot of eyes on him right now and probably having a lot of conversations about maybe potentially other companies as well. He's just becoming such a big star in wrestling that I don't know, because it's one of these situations where like he's the Southern Underground Pro Bonestorm champion out of Nashville too, but it's been a long time since he's really been a part of the show and he hasn't been able to really defend the title yet. And a lot of that, I think, comes down to just the travel is tough when you're the champion out in California, but you're also the champion in Nashville, Tennessee. Like, that's completely different parts of the country, which it's awesome that AJ Gray is so great everywhere, but it's also unrealistic to think he'd be able to kind of plan himself so thin, you know, in a way where, like, it'd just be... It's literally impossible if, like, you know, if he wants to take a booking in Tennessee, you know, he can do that. But, like, he also might have commitments to a company in the north, in the east, in the west. I mean, the Midwest, wherever, right? Like, he's all over the place. So if Jacob Fatu is going to be a regular part of West Coast Pro going forward, it's probably a smart idea to put the title on him because he's super over and he's just fantastic. And now that he's not the MLW World Champion anymore, it just makes more sense to kind of have him start stacking up some indie titles, because AJ Gray is good to go either way. Like I said, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think AJ Gray is going to be the next GCW World Heavyweight Champion. He's currently the Extreme Champion, and that's a title belt that would make a lot of sense to just combine with the world title. He won the Brass Ring at Hammerstein, and I just think it makes all the sense in the world for WrestleMania weekend, Jon Moxley, AJ Gray, World Championship. And if it isn't that, I think it'll be Jon Moxley versus like another really big name. Moxley will retain the title, and then AJ Gray will like quote unquote cash in his brass ring right after. Either way, I guess my point is I think WrestleMania weekend, GCW, I think the Game Changer Wrestling World Champion coming out of WrestleMania weekend will be the mother effing truth, Black Death, Rich Homie Juice, AJ Gray. And I also want to give a shout out right now to Speedball Mike Bailey and ACH. As I said a little bit earlier on the show, a lot of people, AJ Gray said it, B-Boy said it, and these are guys that I really respect their opinions. I mean, for those of you who don't know, B-Boy is a legit legend of indie wrestling, especially on the West Coast. And for him to say Mike Bailey versus ACH is the best match he's ever seen in person in his life, and I believe AJ Gray said the same thing, and I've heard a lot of others echo those sentiments. And I watched the match on IWTV when it aired live. It was fantastic. It's way, way, way up there. I mean, it's definitely going to be in the conversation come December for Match of the Year. And I highly recommend going out of your way to watch this. The only reason I didn't make this my recommended show is because I know a lot of people are talking about this West Coast Pro show and that match in particular. And there didn't seem to be as many people talking about AIW. So I wanted to make sure that they were getting a lot of love also. So go watch AIW on IWTV, and if you missed West Coast Pro, even though I just gave you the results, go check the show out. At the very least, I mean, you should watch the whole show, because the whole show from top to bottom was great. Just stacked with talent, just great match after great match. But if you want to see potentially the best match you're going to see all year on any company in the world, big or small, mainstream or indie, Speedball Mike Bailey versus ACH. Go out of your way to watch that. I could not recommend that higher. Just Speedball versus ACH, West Coast Pro. This was from The Art of Drowning. So once again, West Coast Pro is the company. The show is The Art of Drowning. Check it out, independentwrestling.tv. All right, before we get out of here, I'm going to give you some quick predictions for WWE Elimination Chamber. Y'all can make sure to go over to WrestleRumble.com. This show is not sponsored by WrestleRumble, but they are my friends over there, and I want to give them a shout-out, because if you're a fan of WWE, or even if you're not a fan of WWE, it's fun to get involved in those contests, because it gives you a reason to watch, for no other reason, right? I do think it's a good card. I have my own personal views on the whole idea of doing all this business in Saudi Arabia, but I'll just keep that to myself, because y'all don't want to hear that. You want to hear me talk about wrestling. So, these are my predictions for the show. I'm going to say Ronda Rousey and Naomi defeat Sonya Deville and Charlotte Flair. I'll go one further by saying that I think Ronda Rousey makes Sonya Deville tap out. I'll go with Drew McIntyre over Madcap Moss. I'll go with the Usos over the Viking Raiders to retain the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss is false count anywhere, by the way, but I don't think that's going to make a difference in the result. We've got the Women's Elimination Chamber match. It's Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Doudrop, Nikki Ash, and to be announced, the always comparable mystery opponent. I have no idea who the mystery opponent is going to be. I legitimately have no clue. I'll just say it's probably whoever the mystery opponent is going to be. If not, I guess I'll go with my prediction as Bianca Belair. So let me put it this way. I think Bianca probably should win the match, but, you know, they might just do some sort of surprise, and, you know, we'll see what that winds up being. With Saudi Arabia, it could be anyone. I mean, this is the same kind of scenario. They got Shawn Michaels out of retirement, you know what I mean? The money's right. Apparently, you know, the money's right. And, you know, and I do applaud. I don't want to make it sound like everyone just takes the money. There have been wrestlers that have refused to go to these shows, and I respect that as well. I'm going to say that Becky Lynch defeats Lita to retain the Raw Women's Championship. I'm going to go with Roman Reigns to retain the WWE Universal Championship over Goldberg. I'm hoping that match lasts like 4 minutes, and it's pretty much all Roman. And I'll say for the men's chamber for the WWE Championship, I'll say Brock Lesnar wins the title back. I'll say Brock defeats Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins, Austin Theory, Riddle, and AJ Styles to become the champion once again. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at @FightTalk_FIGHTTALK_. Make sure to hit the like button right here on FightfulSelect.com. Makes you feel good when I see those likes right here on Fightful Select. Make sure to check out the Spotlight every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the YouTube channel for Fightful. Make sure to check out Fightful Gaming. That is Twitch.tv/Fightful Gaming. I'm on there every Thursday with Joel Pearl, playing some Mario Kart. If you have a Nintendo Switch, jump on and game with us. And yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. Always use my code FIGHTTALK on IWTV. And I'll be back next week. Enjoy some professional wrestling.